This is the Cato Daily Podcast for Thursday, March 19th, 2020. I'm Caleb Brown. Congress has moved relatively swiftly to beef up safety net authorities and unemployment benefits as a national emergency declaration has unlocked presidential authority. Meanwhile, states and the feds have moved swiftly to undo regulations that have hampered emergency responses by both the public and private sector. Cato's Will Yeatman comments. Congress is continuing to work on either a stimulus package or writing checks to all adult Americans. But this was, of course, not their first legislative action in response to COVID-19. What has Congress done so far as of this recording?
Well, as of this recording, they're working on their third measure. So a couple weeks ago, they actually passed a first measure of $8.3 billion directed specifically at the medical supply chain, if you will. I mean, from hospitals to everything else. Subsequently, they passed a sort of a mini stimulus that in essence expanded and beefed up, if you will, existing social safety net factors or policies. And currently, they're sort of working on a big kit and caboodle. So, you know, after starting with sort of a targeted plan, you know, that first measure targeted at the health supply chain per se, the second measure is sort of beefing up existing safety net authorities. And currently, they're working on sort of this grand stimulus-esque $1 trillion measure to keep the economy or to respond in an economic fashion to the economic damage that's been wrought by the response to COVID.
What powers have been unlocked for the president with respect to this, which is, I think, legitimately, you could call it a national emergency?
Oh, I think it's completely fair. I mean, I think that this is a when the founders created a single executive, a single president, that in which they vested the executive power, it was very much with emergencies such as this in mind. So this is actually one of the rare areas of policy, the response to COVID-19, where I'm not as alarmed as I normally am by the President Trump and declaring these emergencies, which tap these statutory authorities, these laws that Congress passes that give the president enhanced powers in various areas when he declares an emergency. So he's done this for a number of statutes. The most consequential seems to have been the declaration of the emergency declaration under Title 42 of the U.S. Code. That's a fancy way of saying under the public health laws. And this, in effect, gives the agencies in his administration, the Department of Health and Human Services in particular, greater flexibility, greater latitude to suspend or certain rules that might get in the way of a more of effective response to the ongoing public crisis. So that's sort of the big one. And that was done earlier this week or late last week, but pardon my confusion for precisely when, but a couple days ago. Actually, today, the president announced an emergency under the Defense Production Act. And this would authorize the White House to nationalize industries in response to the COVID-19 crisis. I'll say this pointedly: the White House noted that they would exercise this authority if needed, quote unquote. And I think that's a very telling phrase. The president's rhetoric to date has very much recognized the relative efficiencies of private sector supply chains versus what the government can do. So part of me thinks that this was largely a measure to reassure the people that, you know, he's taking this seriously and that he's declaring, you know, emergencies as appropriate. But I strongly doubt whether or not the White House and the federal government is going to swoop in and take over nationalized industries. But those are that's the gist of what the president has done so far in terms of tapping his existing authorities.
Okay, so at the state level and the federal level, a lot of regulations have just been relaxed or eased or done away with, at least temporarily, and a lot of those regulations appear on the wish lists of for elimination by libertarians all over the place.
Indeed, we've seen a lot of measures along the lines of what I spoke of before, sort of where rigidity caused by regulations has gotten in the way of effective responses to COVID. And here, certainly the most famous or notorious one is the New York Times brought to light about 10 days ago, the fiasco in Seattle, where private parties had developed a fairly effective test for COVID and used it in violation of the law, in violation of FDA regulations regarding the development and use of such tests, and by so doing ended up arguably saving a lot of lives. So it's, telemedicine would be another area where we've seen sort of some obvious loosening of restrictions. Not just there, it's we've seen pushes when it comes to Department of Education regulations for homeschooling, and here it's special needs, or that is to say, Americans with Disabilities Act, ADA. So that is a law that that's a noble cause. I'll say my twin is disabled. That's something, you know, I'm actually incredibly sympathetic to the disabled community. But at the same time, it was the perfect being the enemy of the good in terms of a response to COVID and homeschooling. I mean, the extent to which rigid ADA rules schools were making a determination whereby instead of trying to accommodate just the vast preponderance of our students and thereby running afoul of the ADA, we're not going to accommodate anybody and everybody's on their own. So that sort of measure, and even down to smaller levels. So we've seen on college campuses across the board, as students have been sent home, and I'm sure everyone's read about that or experienced it themselves, but textbooks, colleges across the board, and I thought this was amazing. They've said, well, we realize that many of you perhaps left your textbooks behind in the rush to get home. Well, we're just going to send you PDF copies of these textbooks to begin with, you know, which got a lot of people asking, well, shoot, why do we have to spend $400 to begin with to get these things? Our colleague Walter Olson wrote in Cato at Liberty about the loosening of the licensing regulations, in particular for nurses. Sort of a rigidity there had precluded a number of well-meaning and qualified people from participating in the public health response. And the governor, Larry Hogan, there had acted in response to that with a very common sense measure to, again, allow the most possible number of health professionals out there doing as much good and help as possible. So I've got other examples, you know, if you want to continue in this vein, but the common thread is that policymakers, when confronted with regulations that sort of didn't make any sense to begin with, and in this situation were actually hampering a response, they've done something that is very common sense minded and loosened the regulations and thereby attained flexibility.
Maybe you can explain this to me. What mechanically within the levers of government allows these agencies to just cast this regulation aside? Are these executive decisions, or are heads of agencies able to simply say, well, this, we're going to get rid of this? When you're talking about like medical licensure and allowing people to become licensed across state lines and things like that, like Jared Polis in Colorado did it, Washington State did it, Texas has done something similar, Massachusetts and other states have done something similar. Does this have to come from a governor or the president, or can these agency heads just say, look, we're not going to deal with this for the foreseeable future?
It can be both. So mechanisms, we spoke about one such mechanism when I was talking before about the emergency powers that President Trump has tapped into. Governors have the same sorts of statutory powers, and to be sure, they've been invoked by governors across the country. At the same time, agencies, both at the federal and the state level, all of them, if not all of them, then virtually all of them, the rules by which agencies issue rules to begin with, or regulations, they all have this good cause or emergency provision that in essence allows an agency to forego the normal hoops they'd have to jump through in order to change their rules in times of emergency or crisis, such as the present times, and thereby alter their rules on the fly for the better. So a mix of both when it comes to the legal authorities for the changes afoot.
Will Yateman is a research fellow at the Cato Institute. Subscribe to the Cato Daily Podcast wherever you please and follow us on Twitter at Cato Podcast.